The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you?' Then he will answer them, saying, 'Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool." This verse, like so many others throughout the scriptures, clearly indicates God's desire to rescue you from sin and to cleanse you from its stain. From one end to the other, the scriptures are a record of God's efforts to lead sinners to repent, receive forgiveness, and rely and depend on him alone. From the curse on sin and the promise of a Savior in Genesis, all the way to the depiction of the glories of the heavenly Jerusalem in Revelation, by threat and by promise, the Lord seeks to turn sinners away from self-righteousness, that they might receive true righteousness, a righteousness which comes only through faith and trust in Christ. We heard it in the reading from Ezekiel this morning. "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered. I will gather them and will feed them. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. That there is an urgency to God's message is made abundantly clear. Jesus reminds us, an hour is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Because God has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. An hour is coming, we hear. God has fixed a day. To be sure, it is not given to us to know the day or hour of the judgment. No one knows, Jesus tells us. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. This much, however, we do know. The day is surely coming. It will arrive. And when it does, Jesus, the man God has appointed, will judge all peoples in righteousness. It is in order to prepare each of us for that day, and so that we may anticipate it as a day of joy and blessing, that Jesus presents us with the teaching of our text. Without such a description, you might well be fearful of that day and what might happen then. But Jesus' description in the gospel today can put your worries to rest, for it is truly a wonderful explanation for all who trust in him. When the last day finally arrives, it will be him, your shepherd and friend, whom you see there on the judgment seat, the one who knows you by name, whose voice you have come to know and trust and follow, who has daily protected and sheltered you with his gracious hand, rescued you from many dangers and delivered you safely through the terrible troubles. This one will call you to the place of honor at his right hand and will give you eternal life. This is a truly blessed picture. You needn't fear that the judge will be harsh or antagonistic toward you, or that he won't remember you, or that he might confuse you with someone else. After all, this is the shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep, for you, precisely so that he might keep you safe with him on the last day. And yet it's clear in our text that not everyone will be safe. As surely as a shepherd can tell a sheep from a goat, so certainly will Jesus divide believers and unbelievers on the last day. The goats at his left are those who during their lives persistently refused his call, insisted on going their own way. These are people who refuse to be gathered under the Lord's protective, self-sacrificing care. People who, by their own rejection of their Savior and his word, brought upon themselves the righteous verdict of condemnation. May the Lord, in his grace, humble you and me, and thus preserve us from such a tragic end. For then, we will be among those at his right hand to whom he will say, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." The full measure of God's grace is revealed in this wonderful invitation. How often haven't you prayed to the Lord that he would take from you the troubles and sorrows that each day threaten to overwhelm you? How often haven't you yearned to be freed from your bondage to sin? how often haven't you wished for the perfect peace and rest that ever continues to elude you here? On that glorious day, all your prayers and yearnings and wishes will be fulfilled. The Lord will invite you, come. Come from daily temptation to security. Come from bondage to full liberty of a child of God. Come from constant struggle to an eternal Sabbath rest. Come, your Savior will say, for you have received the blessing of my Father, free forgiveness, life, and eternal salvation in my name. Come, inherit, as we witnessed and heard in Loki's baptism earlier. Through the waters of holy baptism, God provides sinners a new birth, cleanses them from all their sin, and makes them heirs of heaven. In your baptism, each of you was reborn as a child of God. No one else has a claim on you. Jesus Christ is your brother, and you are an heir with him. Your older brother says, look what the Father has designated for you in his will. See what you are to receive, the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That means that long before you were born, even before Adam and Eve were created, God had planned in advance and prepared for you the blessings of his heavenly kingdom, which he will give to you on the last day. What greater evidence of undeserved love and favor could he have shown to you? And yet his grace goes even further. For Jesus Christ will actually praise you for your trusting response of thanks to him. He will say, come, inherit the kingdom. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. The righteous will respond, I don't remember ever having done any of these things for you. But Jesus will answer, truly I say to you, as if you did it to one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it to me. See how Christ will honor you. Where you've tried to obey his commandments, to love your neighbor as yourself, to help and befriend him in every bodily need, to do what the Lord required of you. Where you've tried, and truthfully only sometimes succeeded, he will actually praise your fumbling and imperfect attempts. He says that whatever you've done to assist his brothers, your fellow Christians, he accepts as having been done for him personally. If you're not sure why I say this is truly an evidence of God's grace, consider some of the actions for which God will commend those who live by faith in him. Christian parents who share God's love by making their daughter a sandwich, changing their son's diaper, buying one of them new clothes. These will be praised. The Christian who cares for a sick family member or visits a relative in a nursing home will be praised. Every act of love toward brother or sister, father or mother, spouse or child, friend or neighbor, each one of them Christ will praise as having been done for him. The righteous will question Christ's praise because they know that their motives were never pure, and that they failed to do such things as often as they did them. They expected no praise, like the workers in the parable. They had merely done what was required of them. With those workers, they would say, "We are unworthy servants. We've only done what was our duty." They saw no merit in themselves, certainly never saw themselves as serving Jesus himself. Nevertheless, on the basis of their faith, the Lord will say to them, "You did it to me." To those on his left, however, the Lord will say, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." But what we might wonder of the good parents and respectful children among this group? What of their actions toward one another? Just as Christ accepts the deeds of the righteous because they were done through faith, so here the deeds of those on his left are rejected because they were not accompanied by faith. As Paul writes, "Whatever does not proceed from faith is sin." And in Hebrews we read, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." Because these people rejected God's word and his ways, God will reject them and all their works on the last day. Thus God's justice will be served. The cursed will go into eternal punishment with the devil and his angels, but the righteous into eternal life with God. Thus the Lord will do as he long said. By his mercy, he will graciously welcome into everlasting happiness all those who are his sheep, saying, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Rejoice because of what he accomplished for you at his cross. In the end, Christ will speak these words of welcome to you. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.